Hallelujah, the Lord is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah.
Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb? This was the question that the women asked one another that first Easter morn. Their Lord was gone forever. At least that's what they thought. Their journey to the grave must have been long and lonely. All of the talk about Jesus as Messiah seemed now cold and dead on their lips. But they wanted to do what was right. They wanted to bring the spices and anoint his body. If he could not live, at least he should die with honor and respect as a great teacher. We all fight this battle with death. Sometimes the battle seems to be going pretty well. We're healthy, the kids are okay, the tax season is almost over. God is gracious, and there is much to rejoice about. Other times, though, it seems as though death and Satan are winning. A loved one dies. There's a sickness, cancer, that just won't go away. The economy, jobs, school, divorce, fighting at home. Sometimes the fight is long and just hard. Sometimes this earthly strife that we all undergo never seems to end. It can feel as though there is no future, no hope for things to ever get better. Of course, we are not the first Christians to ever have this battle with Satan and sin and death. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15 about those who aren't certain about the resurrection of the dead. They didn't know whether the dead would rise. They thought you lived and you died, and that was the end. To that fear and concern, Paul wrote, "If in Christ we have hope in life only, we are of all people most to be pitied." How often have you been miserable because you have forgotten the most basic, fundamental core of the Christian faith? How often have you lived as if Jesus' dead body were still decaying outside Jerusalem somewhere? When we allow the trials and crosses of life to define us, it is as if we are asking that question with the women at the tomb. I don't mean that we should always be happy, or that if we simply have a more positive attitude, that things will automatically get better. Heaven knows that there are times when things are hard and sad. We do suffer in this life. And that suffering is real. It is painful. And it may feel as if it will never end. But Jesus is risen from the dead. And for poor, weak sinners like you and I, that is good news indeed. No, it is the very best news. David exclaimed this in Psalm 16 when he prayed, "For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, or let your Holy One see corruption. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." The path that we walk this day is the path of life through death. There is no such thing as life for us apart from Jesus' death and resurrection. But with Christ there is hope. This hope is not a pie-in-the-sky sort of everything-will-get-better hope. No, God founds this hope upon Jesus' death and resurrection for us. Again, from Psalm 16, "I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you." This is the song of all creation. His death is your death, and his life is your life. The women brought incense and spices to Jesus' tomb to bury him. These spices and incense were used to cover up the smell of death. But the smell that was meant to cover up death is now for us a reminder of life, eternal life in him. But what if you believe this path is not for you? What if you believe that Jesus' death and resurrection aren't enough, or that you aren't worthy of God? To you, I say, remember St. Paul. Untimely born, he says, out of step with the other apostles, if anyone would have a claim on being unworthy of God's mercy, it would be St. Paul. For he was a persecutor, a murderer by nearly anyone's standards, standing by watching St. Stephen be stoned, the least of the apostles, as he would call himself. And yet God had mercy on him, baptized him, made him as his own child. If this is true for St. Paul, this is also true for you, dearly beloved. Everything you have and are, all of your good, is from God himself, who gave himself to you so that you might have hope. He gives himself to you so that you can actually live, not just survive to suffer another day. This is what we pray from the Catechism, that I may be his own and live under him in his kingdom, and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, just as he is risen from the dead, lives and reigns to all eternity. This is most certainly true. Throughout this Lententide, we talked a lot about forgiveness. We talked about our need for forgiveness, the destructive effect sin has upon our lives. And we've talked about how sin begets more sin all the time. But more important than that, we have learned how God forgives, that he longs to forgive, that his forgiveness covers you, and that his gracious presence in your life is but a foretaste of the feast to come, the eternal fellowship with him. So today, rejoice. Rejoice in this day and be glad. The things of this life that weigh you down, they will pass. Just as our Lord appeared to the women and the disciples later on, so he has appeared to you. Your sorrow has been turned to joy. God is at peace with you, and you do not need to be afraid of anything that comes your way. For Jesus is risen, and that is all that really matters in this life. Believe it, for the sake of our risen Savior, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen.